Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, I have with me Craig O'Donoghue. Today, Ross Lyon, the sacking, what it means for Frio and what it means going forward. And we run our eye over round 22 and all its ramifications.
That was out of bounds.
I don't believe it. I see it, but I don't believe it.
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now.
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast brought to you by Tab Touch. But today, it's Quarters and Cod.
I thought I was going to get Cod and Quarters. Cod and Quarters.
Let's go, Cod and Quarters. Look, it's been a massive day in footy, which is why Mark Duffield sends his apologies. But leading football writer Craig O'Donoghue and umpire and an expert on all matters umpiring, I might say. Listen, you're at the coalface today. You're at the Ross Lyon press conference.
Yep.
What was the feel?
The feel was that he wanted to coach next year. He made it very, very clear that he felt that he should be coaching next year. And was disappointed that they didn't give him the opportunity. He was using the same rhetoric that we've heard from him all year, that when their best team is on the park, they're a good team. They've beaten six of the top eight this year. And they've beat Geelong without half their team of their best 22 weren't out there when they beat Geelong. So he felt that he deserved to go on and coach next year and give himself the opportunity to press for another contract. But the reality was that he understood that the board had made a decision that they weren't going to give him a contract in 2021 regardless. And as a result of that, it was untenable and he had to go. So disappointed, philosophical, talked up the club, talked up the players. There was no anger or bitterness in him. But it was clear that he felt that he had earned a spot.
There might be, but there certainly it wasn't shown today.
He wasn't showing it,
no. You
know what?
Like, whether you like Ross Lyon or not, that was a pretty classy exit.
Yeah, it was. And it was interesting. So he was asked how he found out. And he said that, believe it or not, he had a 10 o'clock appointment to catch up with Harley Bennell.
Yeah.
For breakfast and just to see where Harley was at since he left the club and check on his welfare. And he sent an email to the club saying, I'm not going to be in until 10. And he got a phone call from Peter Bell saying, I need you to come in at 9. And he thought, oh, okay, why? And they said, well, we need you to sit down with a couple of the board members, including Dale Alcock, have a chat. And he said, he immediately thought, Steve Rosich's name isn't down there. There's a fair chance he's been necked and I'm going as well. And he was 100% correct that that was it. So it's pretty brutal the way they sack coaches these days. It was done very well by Fremantle. Meeting on Sunday, decision rubber stamped on Monday, sack him on Tuesday.
You know,
very clean.
It was running through my head the whole time. The differences between his appointment. Let's remember the first press conference when Ross was appointed.
Yep.
And that was just poisonous, that conference.
That was extraordinary.
It was.
Do you have blood on your hands was the first question
exactly.
asked of him.
And those eyes were darting round. And this was just the poles apart, this exit today. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the next step is for Ross.
Yep.
I know you have your theories. The family is settled here. Lot of talk in Melbourne that St Kilda, and look, we know Brendan Goddard's come out today, Nick Riewoldt's a big supporter.
Yep.
They want him back at St Kilda, make no mistake about that. But whether the board will accept that, and certainly there's a few supporters out there who aren't keen on that idea. I think in the end of the day, look, you look at Frio, I think it's the right decision's been made. There's a lot of, the word culture is annoying sometimes, but there's no question that club has been treading water for a while.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I thought 8 wins, pre-season I said 8 wins, but an improvement in those big losses coming down. And I think they've achieved that this year. If you take out the derby, if you take out 2 games, I reckon they've been pretty competitive. They have lost players from their back end. They've lost players from their front end. So not ideal circumstances, but you know what? He's had time, and I think it is now time to move on, and they've made the right decision. But I don't think this year has been all that bad. I actually think the playing group, at least, has taken a step forward with the one caveat, Cod.
And that is?
Skill.
Yes.
And it costs them every week.
It does. And when you look back the last 2 weeks, they had St Kilda on toast, leading by 2 goals with 2 minutes to go and couldn't put the game away, couldn't lock down stoppages, couldn't hit targets. And they conceded goals early in that match with horrendous kicking in the back half.
Yeah,
and that cost them the game. And Ross Lyon even said at the end that they had put extra time into the fundamentals of the game at the expense of teaching them how to close down games in the last 2 minutes and talk about game scenarios. Well, if you're putting all of your emphasis on the skills of the game and the fundamentals, how can you produce what they just produced by kicking the ball so poorly? And then on the weekend against Essendon, plus 71 disposals, plus 41 hitouts, plus 11 inside 50s, plus 54 contested possessions.
Lose the game.
They're losing the game by getting the ball in their own hands and giving it straight back. And that's been a consistent problem that we've seen for many years.
So I think if we talk about timing here, like I think the timing, I don't think the 54 plus contested possessions helped him at all.
No.
But I also think that they were mathematically out.
Yes.
While you're mathematically still alive, you can't sack your coach.
No, you can't.
Because how can you enter a finals campaign without hanging over you?
David Hale's not coaching first week of finals, is he?
So I understand the timing of it. They had to wait until it was absolutely mathematically impossible to make the finals. So I think that that's the timing behind it. They clearly said that we couldn't see you coaching beyond 2020. So we don't want that speculation hovering over the club.
And that's a smart decision too when you think about it, because we have seen what it does. Politics kills clubs. You know, when you look at all coach sackings, when it drags out for an entire year, we've seen it with Carlton this year, we saw it with North Melbourne with Brad Scott, we saw it with St Kilda, the bottom falls out, then you do the sacking mid-season or at the end of the year, and then it starts to jump again. They couldn't get to round 10 next year, be 4-6, and everyone be debating whether or not Ross Lyon was going to be there, because it would go quickly to 4-10.
Yeah.
Now they're giving themselves a chance to start with clean air.
So what's his legacy, do you think? My take on Ross Lyon is that he's been a very good coach.
Yep.
Excellent coach, actually, both at St Kilda and at Fremantle. But if you look at the grand finals he's lost, if you look at there's always one common denominator, and that is they don't score enough.
Yeah.
And it's simply that. And the skill. And the not enough emphasis on skill. And if you look at the premiership teams, by and large, over the last couple of decades, it's all been skill-based.
It has, absolutely. And their inability to score has been consistent for so long. You look at their last 4 years, average score throughout the seasons was 2016 was 72 points, 2017 was 73 points, 2018 was 71 points, this year is 72 points. So regardless of whether they were winning barely any games in 2016 or 9 games this year, it's the exact same average score. And that was the problem at St Kilda too.
Yeah.
They couldn't score enough, which kept other teams in games.
That's right. And the thing is, you talk about Stephen Milne and the bounce of the ball. Yes, it was unlucky. But if you're 4 goals in front, you're not.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yep, absolutely. And if you look back to Fremantle's grand final in 2013, we remember Nat Fyfe missing goals. We remember Hayden Ballantyne missing goals. We remember them scoring one goal in the first half. You know, they could not score. And I've always had the feeling that Ross's attitude is, let's stop the opposition from winning and then we'll try to win.
Yeah.
And we look at the way the Bulldogs are playing at the moment. You know, they're trying to win from the start of the game. You look at how West Coast and Richmond play. Let's go out and win the damn game.
They're almost the antithesis of the Bulldogs to Ross's style,
aren't they?
Because they are so ultra-aggressive and attacking that they give you a chance.
Yeah.
They're just not coughing up at the moment. That's why they're going so well.
Well, it's really interesting. If you're a coach and you go in and you say, okay, if your attitude is let's defend, defend, defend until we don't have to anymore... Mm. Mate, and then you look at who they've beaten this year. They've beaten Geelong, they've beaten Collingwood, they've beaten the Bulldogs, they've beaten GWS and Brisbane. So they've beaten all these teams. And you say, well, how are we going to beat them? Well, we have to score. We can't defend them all day long. But then when you go out and you say, we're going to lose to Gold Coast, Melbourne, Carlton and St Kilda, because your philosophy of let's defend first, well, we'll just defend against them and eventually we'll score. But when you have to change your outlook because you know you can't win that way, you play a different style of footy and you beat the top teams. So we know that Fremantle need to play differently in order to compete well enough to compete with the top teams. They do against the top teams. They don't throughout the entire season. And that's what we need to see more of.
So a couple of things before we get on to who we think should or will coach them. So there's a soft cap issue here.
Yeah, massive soft cap.
So they're going to break their... So the soft cap being not the salary cap. Let's not confuse it with that. You're in lots of trouble if you breach the salary cap. If you breach the soft cap, you basically go dollar for dollar above whatever you've breached the cap.
That's 9.5 million you're allowed to pay your entire football staff.
Yeah, which takes into account everyone. Yeah. Like you're talking about your welfare, your dietitian, all of these people. And of course, at the top of it, the very apex, you've got your senior coach. So let's just call it 650 base plus entitlements, which so take you up to 800 or whatever.
Yep.
So that's 800,000 you now have to pay into an AFL pool for next year. So it's a measured decision by Fremantle. And let's remember, this is royalties. It's not going back into the West Australian Footy Commission and into local footy. So, this is a decision that's not been made in haste.
No, they knew, and it's a calculated call. You say, Are we going to lose money by not sacking him? Would be one of the questions I would have asked. Our membership's going to drop.
Yeah.
Our sponsorship's going to drop.
Well, you've got to sell hope.
Yeah. Now you'd think, you know, people would go, turn around and say, well, maybe we'll get a few more members and that can cover it. We'll cop it for a year. And they'd be confident also, I think, that you can turn to a new coach and say, you know, you're not going to be getting the 800 that Ross got. So if we're going to give you 500 as a new coach, or 450 as an example, what if we give you 250 in year one and 650 year two, 700 year three, to cover these sorts of things, yeah. And then you get back to the
Well, I'm
the
led
sort of
to
dollars.
Believe that's the way it's going to go.
Yeah, they're going to underpay next year, but the bloke who comes in will get looked after in the
heavily
end.
Heavily back-ended contract. Yeah. So I reckon it's down to two, and I think Justin Longmuir, he'd be my tip.
He has to be the overwhelming favourite with the public at the moment.
Peter Sumich has been mentioned as well. He's in the chop-up, and we can go through the names like Brad Scott, we can go through the names like Michael Voss, but as far as I'm concerned, I think it's down to those two, and I think Justin Longmuir is the front runner. Now, if you listen to Collingwood people, he's got the tactical nous.
Yep.
He's a great relationship builder. And I think this job, I think the two focus points for the next coach, the first is skill. That's it. First is let's base ourselves on skill. Let's become a skillful team. That's number one. Because players who are drafted generally are skillful players.
Mm.
But you can work, you can sharpen that.
And you have to sharpen. You have to keep working on it. If you don't work on your skills, they fall away. We know that.
And we're not talking about just hitting a target. We're talking about hitting a mobile target 10 metres clear of their opponent who's running into space. This sort of under pressure in the clutch of the game. This is the sort of skill that we haven't seen enough of from Fremantle and what you see from the pointy end teams like West Coast.
Have a look at West Coast last year. Jerry McGovern takes the mark, hits Nathan Vardy on the chest.
Exactly.
Vardy gets to a Liam Ryan position where he takes a great mark, but then he hits up Dom Sheed. Dom Sheed kicks the miracle goal. We never imagined seeing that sort of play
from
Fremantle.
And this is what you get from practice.
Yes.
This is not just having the innate ability. You need to practice this. So we need to see more of that. But I think it's as much about selling the club again. And I think what has happened in the past with Ross is he's disenfranchised fans. And it happened at St Kilda.
Yep.
And I think it's happened at Fremantle.
The fans were definitely off
you
him.
You need to get the fans back. And so I think Longmuir ticks all these boxes, plus the romance of the fact that he is a Fremantle player and, of course, kicked a goal after the siren to win him a game. All of that sort of stuff, I think, is part of the little package. And,
but more than he's a good coach.
That's the bottom line.
That's the ultimate. He's done it's been ages since he played footy. And he's done an amazing work to get himself into the position that he is now. So if you go back, he worked in recruiting at Fremantle. Then he moved to West Perth and was working as an assistant coach. Then he moves to West Coast, where he's an assistant coach. Then he becomes the senior assistant coach at West Coast, moves over to Collingwood, where he's a senior assistant coach, and then doing skill development or whatever his role is now in terms of a title. It's a high-ranking title at the club. He's done the Level 4 coaching course. So he's done everything you could do to put yourself into a position to be a senior coach. He's not just a bloke who's been around the traps. He's done all of the hard yards, multiple positions, and learnt multiple roles, and he's a good people person. He's not the greatest media talent in the world, so how he handles selling the club and speaking publicly will be interesting for him if he does get that job. How he interviews will be really interesting.
Not many are,
as well.
Really, though.
No, they're not.
And you've grown into that role, yeah. I think. I mean, I can't think of any who've had an instant impact in that manner. So, you know, no, they're not all Kevin Sheedy.
And we wouldn't have thought David Teague would be one of those people either.
But he's
grown into it.
Immeasurably. Yeah. I think he's been fantastic. So, you know, and he's a smart guy, Justin.
Yes.
So I think he'll grow into it.
And he looks like he can coach. The players like him.
Mm.
All players talk about how good a coach he is. The coaches have always talked him up. You think about that documentary where Nathan Buckley, the first person he turned to when Dom Sheed was having a shot for goal was Justin Longmuir. Will he kick this? Is he a good kick for goal? He values his opinion.
And he probably
away.
Said yes.
And he said yes. And he went, oh, that's not good. I think he's got to be the favourite. Because and if they go, as you said, Brad Scott would be really interesting if he came into the mix.
I think Sumer would always put his hand up. And I think it'd be nice to see Sumer get the gig because I want to see him in action at AFL senior level. I think he'd be a really good coach.
Yeah.
I really do.
I reckon his time, he's probably missed his opportunity. When was the last time we saw someone come into the AFL system from out of the AFL system to be a head coach?
Yep.
I can't recall.
Yeah.
It's been a hell of a long time before that's happened, apart from, you know, the James Heard scenario where they just pluck them because they're the hero and all that sort of stuff. So I think Sumer's best chance, or most likely chance, would be to come back into the system
as an assistant.
As an assistant, possibly even and Justin Longmuir's head senior assistant coach, and work with him, because I think they'd be a really good match.
Mm.
But from there, you look at, would Michael Voss put his hand up? He probably would. He wants to be a... He's not getting the job, no, but you'd expect him to be part of the process that they go through. It needs to be a thorough process, because when you sack Ross Lyon, a 300-game coach who's been to three grand finals, and you sack him a year out, you can't afford to stuff it up from here. You have to get the right person and be seen to have gone through the right process, because the criticism that we've seen of North Melbourne is that they didn't go through the right process. The question marks over Carlton, have they gone through a full process? St Kilda are definitely going through a full process. You need to be able to sell to everyone, we have gone through so many names and this is the guy we've settled on, and we are 100% certain that he's better than everyone else out there. Because if it is Justin Longmuir, and we're already talking about him,
they've
got to be able to say, we didn't just look at J-Lo, we looked at all the other guys too.
Let's have a bit more thorough process than perhaps they've done at a couple of other clubs.
Yes.
Look, at the same time, we should mention as well, of course, today's other casualty was Steve Rosich. Now, Steve, the CEO, who has overseen the most successful period in Fremantle's history. So they've now got 50,000 plus members. They have been until recent times. They were regularly in finals. They played in the grand final. They've got a new state-of-the-art headquarters. So he's ticked a couple of boxes there, Steve Rosich.
Yes.
Hitched himself to Ross Lyon's
absolutely
wagon,
he did.
Which is why he's gone today.
Yeah.
And so I think that's when the board decided to go in a different direction. I don't think there was any, it was an untenable situation, particularly with Steve's recent comments, I'll be here next year and so will Ross. So I think once you say that, you're pretty well setting yourself up. I'm not sure where Steve will go, but I think you've got to look back on that as a successful period in Fremantle. Not the ultimate success, but nevertheless a successful period in their history.
When you look back on Steve Rosich, the decision that he made in 2011 to ring Ross Lyon, just cold call Ross Lyon while he was still the St Kilda coach and say, hey, we might have a job here in a while, and Ross Lyon say, well, I've got an out clause, and him say, well, give me a week and I will have you a contract offer in front of you, and then he signed him. A massive call to be able to do that. And then further
Steve
down the
Harris as well.
Yeah. But Rosich was the one who actually rang him at the time. And now all this time down the track to say to the board, I still want him. I want him as the coach. I see him as the future of the club still. And the board say no, and him go, well, in that case, we're going in a different direction.
Mm.
Now that's immense loyalty and courage of your own convictions to basically say, well, I can't work here if you're not keeping this coach. It's a lot of money you walk away from as a CEO.
Yeah.
It's a big call. It's the easy decision for him to go is, you know what? Okay, sack Ross and I'll keep my job.
Mm.
But he said, no, I disagree, and now he's gone. So really interesting to see how courageous he's been in 2 points. One, to make the phone call initially, and now all these years later to say, I still want him. I'm prepared to leave if you guys don't want him as well.
Well, he'll bob up somewhere, no doubt about that at all. Now, we better talk about a few other games, Cod, because...
Were there games on the weekend?
Yeah, there were.
It was a good weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a sensational weekend. I didn't do too well in the tipping, but... Richmond West Coast, cracking game, maybe the game of the year.
Yep.
People came out of that game saying now they're the team to beat, Richmond, you know, and they are one of the teams to beat for sure. But I came out of that thinking quite bullish about West Coast because, you know, they've had the big first quarter, which Richmond's clawed back. So well done, Richmond. And it's a great game from Dusty Martin, one out of the...
Outstanding,
not one out of the box because he produces
though.
It regularly. He was fantastic. But, you know, it was wet. The ball was on Richmond's terms. It was at ground level. I'll tell you what, I'd be worried if I was Richmond. If that's a dry day late in September, you know, Eagles are in it up to their eyeballs.
They conceded 7 goals in the first quarter, Richmond.
Yeah, they did.
That's not, we are the grand final favourites and deserve to be miles ahead of everybody else, you know. West Coast will look back and say they learnt a lot out of that game tactically, I reckon.
Yep.
So they put numbers around the ball when the ball was deep inside Richmond's 50, and they could, therefore, when they kicked it out of the 50-metre arc, there was Nick Vlosten, there was David Asprey, there was Dylan Grimes just marking the ball and sending it straight back in all the time.
Yeah.
So I reckon they'll turn around and say, if we end up in that position again, we've got to man them up. We can't give them the territory dominance that they had. But they'll be very confident that if they get the ball down the other end, that Richmond could not find ways to stop their small forwards from kicking goals, stop Jack Darling when it was dry. They'd be confident in that situation if they get them again, I reckon. So the other thing with Richmond, they might be premiership favourites, but they're fourth in the ladder.
Yeah.
So right now, they're travelling week one to Brisbane.
Yeah, that's right.
Now they can beat Brisbane this week and then change all of that. But
so I'm seeing Eagles going to the Gabba, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll but just... if it will change this week.
We don't know
if results happen, but. Yeah. I find it staggering that that everyone's saying Richmond are the deserved premiership favourites when they're fourth because they've got at least
they're still mine, by the way. But I think it's really marginal, and I think West Coast right up there.
Yeah, I think it's throw a blanket over all of them.
Yeah. Geelong's, you've got to give Geelong a chance, and Brisbane,
of course.
Got to
give Brisbane a chance.
You know, interesting. We talk about Richmond and West Coast. But Brisbane and Geelong. So Geelong have gone to the Gabba and lost by a point.
Yes.
They haven't done much wrong.
No, they did a lot
right
for the entire game.
They controlled the game.
Yeah.
You know, that was a game of three, you know, great defensive efforts. Harris Andrews, Marcus Adams, and Harry Taylor. Not to mention a few other Charlie Cameron's five goals.
Yep.
So he's just the best small forward in the comp now, I think. And that's saying something because we are in an era where there's some magnificent small forwards in this competition.
The thing I found really interesting, and we talked about Ross Lyon going out there trying to defend first and win later. Mm. We're seeing with all games now that the last 10 minutes is just a free-for-all. Structures fall over, everyone's just attacking, players are tired. If your entire game is based around slow play and clogging it up and taking your time and moving the ball down methodically and not having this wave of attack at some point, once that game does open up, your defender's going to be left in a vulnerable position, and that's when you're going to lose games. And that's what we saw with Geelong. That they haven't been great leading into that match, and then when it came time to crunch time for that game and it was really up for grabs and Brisbane surged, they couldn't stop that surge. And I reckon teams are going to have to be really wary of allowing their opponents to still be in it and expecting their defensive structures to stand up under the heat of mayhem late in games.
I agree. You know what I'd really noticed in the last quarter or even the last 10 minutes of that game was the value of Luke Hodge.
Yep.
Because that ball was being pumped into Geelong's forward 50 and inside every pack was Luke Hodge, just killing the contest and without that hard, experienced body in there. So he's just been such a great asset to Brisbane. I expect him to retire too at the end of this year. He'll follow Jordan Lewis, who retired today, and, of course, Jared Rufford, who we'll get onto in a minute. I just think what does worry me with Brisbane is that they've got Lachie Neale, Luke Hodge and a handful of others, but not a lot of finals experience. Finals a different game, but they score quickly. So Bulldogs, Brisbane, they really score quickly if you let them get on a roll. But conversely, you can get them the other way. Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah, they can leak goals.
So finals, it's going to be really intriguing to see what happens in this final series. Just before we leave, we should mention Jared Ruffhead. Being a Hawthorn man, of course, I enjoyed that Sunday afternoon, couple of beers. Loved it. The exit for him, certainly from a Melbourne point of view. I was a bit uncomfortable with a lot of the halftime talk, and good on Luke Hodge and Ruffy and Buddy and everyone from flying down. That was great. But I was a bit uncomfortable with all the halftime talk. How many is he going to kick? And just you knew, that, you know, they were just going to look for him and kick it to him. I just didn't feel comfortable with that.
It's not what we've come to expect in games.
He deserved that, yes, by the way. I'm not saying he didn't. But
as just a neutral fan, you're a Hawthorn fan who is probably worrying a bit about percentage and stuff as well. I found it fun. I thought the whole game was fun.
It was.
And mates coming down to watch their mate play footy.
Was it a bit disrespectful to the Gold Coast?
I think they'll get, as far as farewell games go, you can't make your own fixture up. That was their last game, and it was drawn to be Gold Coast.
They are crap at the moment.
Yeah, they're terrible. Yeah. So he was playing on a second gamer at some points of the game.
And, you know, that poor kid, now, you know, they're going to kick it to him. You know they're going to kick it to him. He should not have kicked six.
No, he shouldn't have kicked six, but they're playing Gold Coast, so good on him. He got the opportunity, and they looked for him at every opportunity, and they have skillful players who can hit targets, and he was skillful enough to kick the goals. I just really enjoyed the fact that everyone knew the ball was going to him. Everyone on the ground knew the ball was going to him. And Gold Coast still couldn't stop him from getting the ball.
And it was a beautiful ending, which brings me to my next point. Should he travel? Come over here and play the Eagles?
I don't think he should.
I'm saying no, because I'd hate him. I want him to exit in
like that
glorious fashion, being chaired off, six goals, the roughie we know. I don't want him coming over here and getting two kicks and one handball. Now, I hope I'm wrong and he kicks eight, you know, but I just worry about that. And he looked like he'd had enough at the end of that game. He said it himself.
You see, I'm cooked. Yeah. And Mitch Lewis should be fit, you would think, to come back in. We'll have to wait and see how he goes later on in the week. But if Mitch Lewis is available, then they don't have they have to make a decision about how to get him back into the team. And he's been really good for them.
He needs to play. It's a big game.
Yeah. He's an automatic, I think, to come straight back in. So I think Ruffy, I think he's done.
And I think people will forgive Clarke, because he's had his farewell game. And did you hear the interview with Jordan Lewis at the end of the game? He said, are you going to play next week?
Said,
that's
cockroach.
Up to the cockroach. Yeah. That was brilliant. Loved it.
Well, I remember that. I think Matthew Croft at the Western Bulldogs, six in his farewell game many, many years ago.
And
walked off the ground.
Go.
Everyone went, you must be playing next week. He said, no, the coach said I'm done. The coach said I'm done before the game, regardless of how I went. So I went out and dominated. So a farewell game is a farewell game. I know that... when you dominate with the form, it can look to change things. But I think we all went into that game expecting that that would be Jared Roughead's last match and we could celebrate what an outstanding career that he's had and what an outstanding bloke he is. And coming to Perth now isn't the way that it should finish for him. It actually finished the way it was.
Would be remiss of us not to just quickly discuss the state of football in South Australia at the moment. So the diabolical performance from two South Australian teams last weekend... with a lot riding on it, you know, so much riding on it. And it was insipid from Port Adelaide.
Yep.
Big, you know, Ben Brown kicks 10 kicks more than the entire
ridiculous.
Team. It's ridiculous. Collingwood v Adelaide. Collingwood are travelling okay, but not that well.
No, they're not.
So my point is, we've already seen, like, how many years do we have without a coaching change? We've had a raft already this year, right? We had four. I'm telling you, I don't expect Hinkley and Pike not to coach into next year, but I'll tell you what, if there's not great improvement, I fear for them. Now, I think Pike's got a couple of years.
Pike's got a couple of years, which we talked about the
and
soft cap.
Strange,
that would be a massive decision to sack a bloke with a couple of years
left
in the contract.
They're not
going to
sack him.
So he'll
coach next year.
Yeah.
But it's strange. They played really well here last week, Adelaide.
Yeah.
And then they coughed that up at home. I think there's some real problems with the culture of that play, and I always reel it back to the best team in the comp beaten by the best team at the time, Richmond, a couple of years ago in the grand final, and then they had this diabolical preseason camp.
Yeah, that was
completely
bad.
And that was the start of it.
But the interesting thing, I'd love to see Adelaide take a really gutsy decision and just clean out some of the veterans.
What are they going to?
Just say, see you later. And not just the guys who we expect, like the older guys, Eddie Betts and stuff like that, who aren't playing well. I'd like them to identify the cancers within the club who were still whinging and whining and complaining about everything 6 months after that camp was going on, because that's where it's happened. Let's face it, the camp was a terrible idea and was mismanaged and poor, but you got to move on eventually. And these blokes haven't moved on. And they got rid of Brenton Sanderson. The suggestion is they're trying to get rid of Pike now as well. Get rid of all those blokes and say, you know what, we've done this to improve the culture. Yeah, we're back in the coach. We're back, and we're going to get a better culture in and say, no, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. If it means we fall down the ladder with new kids, we'll do that. But we're not going to have another year of backbiting and stuff going on behind the scenes, which is destabilising this group. We want to have success in the future, even if we have to drop a little bit.
See, I think Port's a little bit different in that I think that there is a bit of a transition there on that list.
Absolutely.
And we've seen some kids there who are going to take the club forward. By the way, it was one of the all-time great bakes by Ken Hinckley to the two ruckmen at one time.
Adam's just looking at it. Oh, they played a handful of games. Why am I copping it?
And there was a second bullet too, I can tell you. He came back for another crack too. But I think that there's an out for that. It was a pretty poor performance, but I think you can see that there's a direction at least.
Yeah, and the kids have been really good.
With its flaws, but there is a direction. For me at the moment, Adelaide, I just can't see where the progress is being made, which is a real concern. So that's why you're right. There needs to be a clean out. And I'd start, and this is a big call. I'm not saying they're the poison, because they're not. But I reckon you look at the Crouch brothers. I mean, you might look at the Gold Coast. Mate, let's do some trades and get some early picks. They've already got an early pick from Carlton. Let's get some early picks and let's regenerate that list. And if you have to get rid of a couple of guns... who are not superstars, but they're very effective players and would be really handy at the Gold Coast, I'd look at that.
Yeah, you've got to make some decisions. They're not in the veteran status, obviously. So you're moving on the veterans and then getting rid of them as well, which is a genuine rebuild.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, going back to the start.
I think you need to look at your
currency. You'd grab the Crouch brothers in a heartbeat.
Yeah, like, you've got them with currency. Players with currency, you'll get top-end picks. I think they need to look at that. And the other real concern out of the weekend is just what Melbourne.
Melbourne have just become irrelevant to the competition.
They are irrelevant, aren't they?
Yeah, no, there's a lack of people blowing up about Melbourne shows that people just don't care about them. It's the middle of the year, off to the snow scenario, which is, and we say that all the time. And we expected them to be better. at this point of the year. We knew they were going to start slowly because of all their injuries, but they haven't improved one iota. And I think they've been a real victim of the new 666 rules because they used to play with extra guys off the back edge of the square. They valued themselves higher than what they were. They got rid of Jesse Hogan and didn't have a forward line that was capable of matching it. Their midfield is still extremely slow. They went and got a defender who wasn't professional enough when he came in.
I'll tell you what, he'll be fronting up at pre-season next year. Stephen May we're talking about.
Stephen May.
He'll be in good nick.
And their backs, so they're unfit and they're getting exposed because it's 666. Yeah. Perfect storm for them
this year.
Yeah, just did not work out for them. And they've had one good year. And that's it. And they've fallen away. So there's a lot of soul searching to go on at that footy club because it's not the sort of club which has a background of success that you can fall back on and go, we know what we're doing. They haven't proven they know what they're doing yet.
Well, look, thanks for your time. Thanks for listening. And we better get back to the coalface, Cod, because a big edition of The West coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, there'll be Ross Lyon stuff everywhere. So make sure you pick up your copy of the West Australian newspaper and log on to thewest.com.au.
And once again, thank you to Tab Touch, our sponsors. Always bet responsibly, of course, Cod, as I know you do.
Love to have a responsible bet.
Of course. Thanks for your time.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.